Bezat Hashem, we're starting a series of shiurim on Megillat Rut. Okay, let me give you a hakdama first on Megillat Rut as to background that this story is taking place. The Megillah starts Vahi b'mei shefot ha-shoftim. This happened during the time of when the judges were judging. Vahi b'mei shefot ha-shoftim. Now, judges, we had 15 shoftim. We talk about shoftim, sefer shoftim, we talk about 15 shoftim. 15 shoftim starts after Yehoshua, first of which is Otniel ben Kenaz. I'm going to talk to you about who he is. And the last of them being Shemuel HaNavi. Shemuel HaNavi is the first of the Nevi'im. After Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua, there was no, Pinchas was also somewhat of a Navi. There were other Nevi'im, but Nevi'im who wrote the Sefer, Shemuel was the first one after Yehoshua who wrote the Sefer. And Shemuel was the last Shofet. Shofet means somebody who is a leader of the community, but he was not Melech. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech, in a certain sense, right? He was the supreme power. Even Yehoshua, the pasuk says that. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yehoshua that people are going to listen to you the same way they listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? It was sort of a promise, because once Moshe Rabbeinu gave him Semicha, Yehoshua became great enough in people's eyes that people were ready to listen to him. As we state here. Right. The Haftarah of Simchat Torah, it says, Vayacharemod, this is page 637. Vayacharemod Moshe ved Hashem v'yem Hashem Yehoshua bin Nun, Moshe Avdi met, and you should lead. And he says, the same way that I was with Moshe, I will be with you. Kasher hayiti im Moshe, ehyeh imach. The same way I was with Moshe, I will be with you. And then it says later on, kol asher yamre et picha, anyone who would disobey. No, people told him, kol asher shamanu el Moshe, at end of the Haftarah, the Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, kol asher shamanu el Moshe, the same way that we listened to Moshe Rabbeinu, people told him, ken nishma elecha, we're going to listen to you. Ragi Hashem Elokecha, imach ki asher yayim Moshe. Kol ish asher yamre et picha, anyone who would disobey your commandment, v'lo yishma devarecha, doesn't listen to you, yumat, will die. Rak chazak ve'emas, and so Yehoshua was basically supreme power after Moshe Rabbeinu. A melech would also have that ability of being supreme power, because a melech is anyone who is more than malchut is chayal mita. Shofet is not like that. Shofet, it says at the beginning of the Sefer Shoftim and at the end of Sefer Shoftim that by Yamim Ahem and Melech be Israel, those days there were no kings among the Jews. Ish hayashar be'enav yaseh. Anyone wanted to do whatever they wanted to do, they would do it. Now, if they would do an Avera, the Bedin would deal with them. But there was no central authority of telling people everyone has to do this. They had Shoftim who went around and told people, you know, they led people, they directed people, told them what the right thing is to do. But there was not a central authority in Kiryat Yisrael. That is the time of Shoftim. It started with Otniel ben Kenaz.
Who appointed the Shoftim?
Either people appointed them, or they became powerful enough, and they were either Gadol Hador or they were powerful. For example, Shimshon became a Shofet because he became powerful.
What does that mean? Powerful from where?
Physical powerful. Physically powerful.
But he was good in the
Chokhmah too. Yeah. Or we have one of the one of the Shoftim, right? Yiftach HaGiladi. Yiftach was not a big person. People came to him. They said, "You're a big warrior. Lead us, and then you'll be a leader." So people appointed him, or they thought, you know, he's a good guy, or he has some kind of a quality. So they appointed him. Deborah Anevia was accepted by people to be the judge. She was a Nevia, but at the same time, she was, she was a lady. So they asked her to be the judge. Yes, so the Tosfot says in Masechet Shavuot that if the Baalei Dinim accept her upon themselves, even a lady could judge. Meaning, or whoever comes for judgment.
Was it Shoftim Baal Nevuah?
Huh?
Was it Shoftim Baal Nevuah?
No, somewhere. Deborah was. Others were not. Shemuel was. Eliyah Cohen was. Others were not. So there were 15 Shoftim, starting from Otniel ben Kenaz, and ending with Shemuel HaNavi. There were 15 Shoftim. The time that these Shoftim basically took was give and take around 350 years. Okay? From the time that Yeshua passed away, till the end of Shemuel HaNavi was about 350 years, give and take. According to our different cheshbonot, how many years it was? Whether it was 316 or 298, and add Shemuel HaNavi to it too, because he was also a shofet and he ruled good number of years, close to 50 years. He was a shofet, so. So you're talking about close to 350 years of the time of Shoftim. Megillat Rut takes place in the middle of the time of Shoftim. Now, Otniel ben Kenaz, which is the first of the Shoftim, lived during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal say that after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, during the Yemei Avedut of Moshe Rabbeinu, certain halachot that Moshe Rabbeinu had taught were forgotten. And Adil ben Kenaz had such a sharp mind that he was able to learn it out of the Torah, bepilpulo. Hechziram Adil ben Kenaz bepilpulo. So he had a very sharp mind. He was able, through learning out of the Pesukim, to bring back all the halachot that Moshe Rabbeinu taught them. Which means there was a Torah Sheba Alpe that Moshe Rabbeinu taught them. They forgot it. Adil ben Kenaz learned it, or out of the Torah, and then once he said it, they all remembered. Yes, that's what he said.
What did the Gemara does that all day? What is that? What did he do different?
Okay, well, the difference was that he was able to single-handedly be able to be machzir all those halachot that were forgotten bepilpulo. So Adniel ben Kenaz took over after Yeshua passed away. Now Adniel ben Kenaz was the brother of Kalev ben Yefuneh. Okay, Adniel was from Shevet Yehuda. Kaleb ben Yefuneh was also from Shevet Yehuda. They were brothers, not from the same father. They were both from Shevet Yehuda, but they were brothers through the mother. So Adniel ben Kenaz and Kaleb ben Yefuneh were brothers through the mother. And Adniel ben Kenaz married Kaleb's daughter.
His niece.
He married his niece. So far so good? Okay. Now Adniel ben Kenaz has another name.
Was under 20 years old?
Who?
Adniel ben Kenaz.
No, he was. You're going to see how old he was. Adniel.
So he survived. Only
he was from your same Israel.
Who was Adniel ben Kenaz? So Chazal said Adniel ben Kenaz was Nachshon ben Aminadav.
He was one of Yosem Yisrael.
So he was one of Yosem Yisrael, but I guess he was young, but he didn't die because, he was the one who jumped into the sea.
He's probably 80 years old now.
Yes, so you're gonna see more interesting stuff.
Yeshua and Caleb.
Yeah, Yeshua and Caleb were the only ones who survived. The whole Shevet Levi also survived. and the ladies survived. So he was not. So I guess he was probably under 20 at the time, you have to say.
So, I mean, he grew up though. What do you mean?
Yeah, but only the people who were over 20 died in the Midbar.
Yep. When he passed the Midbar, how old was he? Is he 4?
No, I don't know. He was 18, 19, I don't know. He was not 20.
He became.
Yeah, he became later on, so fine. Only the people who died in the Midbar were only the people who, when they came out of Mitzrayim, they were 20 years old.
Oh.
Or at the time of the Gezerah were 20 years old, a little bit later. Right.
When was the Gezerah time? After?
The Gezerah time was a year. Meragelim, which was a year and a couple months, a year and 3-4 months after they came out of Mitzrayim. So Adniel ben Kenaz was Nachshon ben Aminadav.
So he married Caleb's daughter after that, because he was the warrior. He was the famous warrior that beat
Who was the warrior? Nachshon ben Aminadab? Adniel ben Kenaz? He married Caleb's daughter. What's the problem?
Didn't Caleb give his daughter over to him? Whoever was it?
Someone you're talking about David HaMelech and Goliath and Shaul? No. Is that what you're saying?
Wasn't there a war? Except Yeshua, that's when
Moses
was able to beat it.
Oh, you mean maybe later on he married it? I don't remember if he married, if this is the one who married later, maybe that's what he was. It could be. I don't remember this right now. So anyway, so Adniel ben Kenaz is Nachshon ben Aminadav. And he was Caleb's brother. Now, this Nachshon ben Aminadav, or Adniel ben Kenaz, had 4 sons. He might have had other sons too. But we're going to talk about 4 sons. Okay? 4 sons. One of them, the name of one of them was Salma or Salmon. If you go to Megillat Rut that you're looking at, go all the way to the end of it. End of Megillat Rut. There, the Megillah gives us a lineage. Pasuk Chaf. Well, let's go now. Let's start from Pasuk Yudchet. The end of Megillah Pasuk Yudchet. It says Ve'ele Toldot Peretz. Peretz was the son of Yehuda, right? The twins that came from Tamar. Ele Toldot Peretz. Peretz holided Chetzron. Chetzron was the son of Peretz. Chetzron holided Ram. Ram holided Aminadav. Aminadav holided Nachshon. So this Nachshon and Aminadav, the great grandchild of Yehuda. Nachshon holided Salma. Nachshon gave birth to Salma or Salmon. Okay, you can do that. We'll talk about it later when you get to it, why the name changed from Salma to Salmon. So you have Salmon. Salmon holided Boaz. Salmon gave birth to Boaz. So Nachshon ben Aminadav had 4 sons. One of them is mentioned here. One is mentioned here by the name Salma or Salmon, who gave birth to Boaz. Okay, that's one. Another one, now turn back to the beginning of the Megillah. Another son is Pasuk Bet. Leshem Ha'ish Elimelech. Another son was Elimelech. Okay? That's Elimelech. That's 2 sons. So far so good? A third son, now this Elimelech, writer in the same Pasuk Bet, Shem Ishto Naomi. The wife of Elimelech's name, the name of the wife of Elimelech was Naomi. Naomi's father was the third son.
So he also married his niece.
Exactly. So you have Elimelech, you have Salmon, you have Naomi's father, that's 3 brothers, and there's a fourth one whose name is alluded to in the Megillah, but it's not mentioned. They call him Ploni Almoni. Right. So Ploni Almoni is the fourth brother. Ploni Almoni is the one that, if you know the story, is that Ruth suggests to him that, or Boaz suggests that he should marry Ruth, and he says, I don't want. He declines. Good. So we'll get to that mission later on. So these were the 4 brothers. All these 4 brothers were the sons of Nachshon ben Aminadab.
So really,
or Otniel ben Kenaz, who's the same person.
Ruth really should have married one of the sons of this
No, don't jump the gun. We're gonna go through it. Okay.
Son or grandson, right? Who? The grandson, you said, right? Not son of
Nachshon,
the grandson.
Right? No, all these four, they're all sons of Nachshon and Aminadab. Right. So Boaz is a grandson. Naomi is a granddaughter. Right? But everybody else, what I mentioned, they're all, yeah, right, the first generation. Okay, so.
Boaz is a grandson.
Boaz is a grandson. Because Boaz is the son of Salmon, who is the son. Now, Boaz has another name, Chazar say. As one of the Shoftim, Boaz's name is Ibtson. Ibtson. In other words, if you go through Sefer Shoftim, Boaz's name is not mentioned. Ibtson is mentioned. Ibtson is Boaz. Why the name changes, we'll get to that discussion later on. He is in the lineage of the 15... If the list of the 15 Shoftim, he is number 10. You have Otniel ben Kenaz, you have Ehud ben Gera, Shamiyam ben Anad, Devorah, Neviyah, Gidon ben Yoash, Avimelech ben Gidon, Tola ben Pua, Yair Giladi, Yiftach ben Gilad, and then you have Ifsan mi Bedlechem. His Ifsan, which is the 10th in the list of the Shoftim, is Boaz. So this story is taking place during the time of Shoftim, by the 10th Shofet, around the time of the 10th Shofet, who is Boaz, that is when the story is taking place. According to the years, this is about 270 years after Yehoshua passed away. So when Israel came to Eretz Israel, Yehoshua lived in Eretz Israel and divided the land, and he lived for number of years, he passed away, and then 270 years later, give and take a few couple of years, is when this story is taking place. Right? What's tricky about it? Oh, yes. Chazal say that these people that we're talking about, each one, some of them, lived close to 450 years.
More than
Boaz. Boaz, according to some counts, he lived 400 years. According to other counts, he lived 300 years. Yeah, more than Moshe Rabbeinu.
What's Moshe Rabbeinu this long age? Why Hashem bless him like this?
I guess they needed to be around. I have no idea. Elimelech also lived a long time.
But
if Elimelech is the son of Nachshon and Aminadav, right? And Elimelech is what we were talking about over here. That's many years later. Nachshon and Aminadav came out of Mitzrayim. Right? This is, what, 300 years later? At least 300 years later.
Probably Nachshon Elimelech probably was born in Israel, in Bamidbar.
He could be in the middle, maybe he was born there, you never know.
Amovino didn't live so long. Yaakov didn't live so long.
Yeah. People have lives according to whatever Cheshbonot are. Okay, so now let's go through this story. This is the context where the story takes place. Now, what we're going to do with Hashem is like this. I'm going to read through some Pesukim and translate, just to give you the storyline. Then we go back and look at it more closely. It was at the time of when the judges judged. And there was famine, there was hunger in the land. A person went from Bethlehem Yehuda.
Was the first famine? After Yeshua, yes.
Someone went from the Bethlehem, which is an area in the land of Yehuda, Lagur b'Shdei Moav, since there was famine in the land, so this guy moved out of Eretz Israel to live in the fields of Moav, Hu ve'ishto, he and his wife, Ushnei Banav, and his two sons. V'shem ha'ish, and the name of this guy was Elimelech, which we spoke about. V'shem ishto, is the name of his wife, was Naomi. V'shem Shnei Banav, and the name of his two sons, Machlon ve'chilion. It was Machlon and Chilion. Ephratim. Rashi says Ephratim means nobles. They were Chashuba people. They were nobles, noblemen. Mibed Lechem Yehuda.
Was brother?
Son of Nachshon.
No, was uncle.
Uncle. Boaz's uncle, uncle, yes.
Yourself?
Now, who do you think wrote the root? Good.
Boaz?
Let's see if anybody's going to guess it. No, it's not Boaz. Keep the question as a good as that he was going to guess that.
Can I ask a question after context?
Yeah.
What is the five megillot? Why the word?
You are asking a wonderful question.
What was it? Is there any significance?
Yes. Okay, wonderful question. Why Chamesh Megillot are called Chamesh Megillot? Okay, keep the question. I don't want to lose this.
I wasn't sure if it's in it.
It will fit in. You'll see. Bezer Hashem.
Everything you say to
me. It will fit in.
It will fit in that there is the five Megillot not part of the regular shop team and there is
another. No. Your question will be answered. I know what's bothering you. So don't fine tune the question because then it's going to become a
different question.
Shem Aish Elimelech, Shem Ishto Naomi, Shem Shnei Bola Machlon Vechidyon, Ephratim. These were noble people. Mibelechem Yehuda, from Bethlehem Yehuda. Vayavohu, and they came, Sedeh Moav. They came to Sedeh Moav, the fields of Moav. Vayihyu Sham, and they were there. Vayamod Elimelech Ish Naomi. Elimelech, the man of Naomi, the husband of Naomi, died. Vatishair hi, Ushne Baneha, and she remained with her, remain means what she was left over, with her two sons. By Yisraelahem Nashim Moaviyot, these two sons went and married for themselves wives who were from Moab. Shem Ha'achad Orpa, name of one of them was Orpa. Shem Hashanit Rut, the name of the second one was Rut. By Yeshevu Sham Ke'eser Shanim, and they lived there around 10 years. By Yamutu Gam Shenehem, they both of them also died. Machlon v'chilion. But Tishair Ha'isha, and the lady was left over, so to speak, was remained. Mishnei Yeladeha, from her two sons, Isha, and from her husband. But Takom hi, and she got up, v'chaloteha, and her daughters-in-law. But Tashro Misadeh Moab, and she returned from the fields of Moab, Kishama, because she heard Misadeh Moab, she heard, while she was in Sedeh Moav, she heard, Ki pakad Hashem et amo, that Hashem has gotten mercy on his nation, latel laim lechem, to give them bread, which means the famine is over, so now let's go back home. Vatetze min hamakom asher haita sham.
10 years
and a couple years. We don't know how many years till Elimelech died. Elimelech died, and then they got married. Right, we're talking about over 10 years.
Was famine there,
so. Well, I guess these many years. So the Targum says, well, I'm going to come back to that. Targum says there were 10 major famines in the world. I mean, there were a lot of famines. 10 major ones. This is one of them. It was a major famine.
Major famine from which
one? I mean, it lasted good over 10 years.
I know, but I'm thinking...
At the beginning of the world till the end of the world. There are 10 major famines.
All together, which means there is a prophecy in here.
Right.
There's a prophecy that all together is going to be...
There were 10 famines. That's right.
Did we go through all 10?
We have gone through all of them. The last one, the Targum says, is the famine. Lo ra'av la'lechem, ve'lo tzama la'mayim, kim nishmo ha'devar Hashem. Right? The last one, it says, V'shirachti Ra'av Ba'aretz, Hashem says, right? It says, how does the pasuk go? The pasuk says, I don't remember the beginning of the pasuk. It says, V'shirachti Ra'av Ba'aretz, I'm going to send famine in the land. It's not a famine, it's not a hunger for bread, it's not thirst for water, but rather to hear the words of Hashem. So the Medrash says, the Targum says the last famine is that one. So we've gone through all the other nine.
We're in the 10th one right now.
The 10th one is right now.
The
you know, there's a beautiful word from the Panovich Arav. Panovich Arav asks, he says, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to send a Ra'av Ba'aretz. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a bad thing. You understand? I'm going to send hunger to the world? That's a bad thing. Then it says, Lo Ra'av La'lechem, it's not hunger for bread, it's not thirst for water. Kim Lishmo Edevar Hashem, but to listen, to hear the words of Hashem. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? Everybody's hungry to hear what Hashem says.
Could be good, could be bad.
How could it be bad?
Huh?
Why is that bad?
What's bad about it?
That means nobody knows anything.
No, they're thirsty. They're hungry.
They don't know.
So he says, you know why it's bad? He says, when there is hunger, a person is satisfied even with a little piece of dried bread. Right? People don't dream in hunger about, you know, 5-course meals and steaks and this and that. They're satisfied with just a little piece of dried bread. So that's the problem. Because there will be ra'av v'ares, right? People are hungry. You give them a little thing. It's good enough. You know, I learned 5 minutes this. I'm Yetzer Zayin. Good. That ambition of knowing and going after it and becoming knowledgeable, having the 5-course meal in Torah, people are not even thinking about it. They don't even dream about that anymore. Right? So that's the hunger. That's the words from the point of view of. Anyway, so this was the 10th hunger. I'm sorry, this the one that we said. But here, this is, I don't remember number what hunger it is.
The hunger in Mitzrayim and the,
yeah, that's one of them too.
What they stand, what shout, what
these are good questions. You gotta hold these questions. Some of them I'll be able to answer, some I won't. Here you go. It says, "Kifan Gadmoe Biyomei Adam." The first one was at the time of Adam Arishon. That was after Adam Arishon was sent out of Gan Eden. So there was hunger because he was being punished. The second one was during the time of Lemech, Targum and Rut. Time of Lemech. The third one was the time of Avram Avinu. That's when Avram went down to Mitzrayim. Fourth one was the time of Yitzchak. It says Milevad Harav Asher Yemei Avraham. Yitzchak went to Avimelech. Fifth one was at the time of Yaakov Avinu and Yosef. Sixth one was during the time of Boaz, which is this case, this situation. This is the sixth one. Seventh one was the time of David. There's a whole story about it in Sefer Shemuel. The eighth one was the time of Eliyahu Hanavi. And Eliyahu Hanavi declared a famine and there was no food. Ninth one was at the time of Elisha in Shomron. And the tenth one is La'ati Lemei Ve'lo Kifar Lemecha Lachmo Ve'lo Tzachun Alemish Temaya Elohen Lemishma Pidgam Nevuah Min Chodam Hashem. The people want to hear the words of Hashem. So this was number 6.
All the ninth was before.
All this hunger that's going on in Somalia is not even a part of this. Okay. So Vatetza min amakom Pasuk Zayin. She got up, she heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanut and there is bread in Yehuda, so she wanted to go back.
But this famine is worldwide famine, it's not just Eretz Yisrael.
It's not Moab had food.
No, it's not worldwide, right?
It's not worldwide. It means
had an effect. It means it's a famine that is there somehow to deal with the process of the world. It's not just a punishment on a nation that they just got. It's a part of the cheshbon of the world, of how it's supposed to be. In Mitzrayim, was only in Mitzrayim. I mean, it was in Mitzrayim and in Canaan.
It was sent to feed the Jews.
It's always for the Jews, but even before the Jews, Adam and Lemech, there were no Jews. Abraham and Israel, there were no Jews. But it was all serving a certain purpose. She went out of that place, Asher Hayta Sham, that she was there. Ushte Kalotea and her two daughters-in-law, Ima, with her. And they went, Baderech, on the way, Lashuv El Eretz Yehuda, to go back to Eretz Yehuda.
Wait, so once again, the grandson of Nachshon married a Goya?
Now you're waking up? Both of them.
I just got this. This is like not so far off. This is like a guy who passed. What is the answer?
Vatomer, and she said, Vatomer Naomi. Naomi said, Lishtei Kalotea, to her two daughters-in-law. Lechna, go. Shovna, go back. Isha lebet ima. Each one should go back to her mother's house. Go back to your mother's house. Yas Hashem imachem chesed. Hashem should do chesed with you, kasher, asitem im hametim ve'imadi. Just like you did with the dead people, you did chesed with them, that you remained loyal to them. And imadi, and you did chesed with me, that you remained with me. Now go back, Hashem should give you your reward. Yiten Hashem lachem, Hashem should give you, I guess a husband. Umtsena menucha ishbet isha, each one of you would find comfort in the house of her husband, which means you go and Hashem will give you a husband. Batishak lahen, and she kissed them. Batisena kolan, and they raised their voice. Batifkeno, and they cried.
It's a problem, double problem. If they're Jewish, she's going to tell them to go back.
Right.
If they're Goya.
Right. The normal Mahalach in Chazal is that they were not Jewish. They were not became Mitgayeret. Midrash says it, and the Gemara learns all the Hilchot Gerut from how she's going to be dealing with Ruth. So they were definitely not Mitgayerut. And there were no Beddin to be Mitgayeret. There was no system of Gerut for them anyway.
I understand. So the father didn't disown his kid that married Goya. Like,
no, they married after the father passed away.
So why is the mother still hanging around with this?
Oh, good, good. Now you have good questions. Now Bear, we're going to see all this. Batomar nala, and they said to her, Ki itach nashuv le'amech. No, we will come with you le'amech, to your nation. Right? Again, you see that's your nation, not our nation. It's your nation. We'll come back with you to your nation, they told Naomi. Atomer Naomi said, Shov na benotai, return my daughters. Lama telach Naomi, why do you come with me? How old banim? Do I have any more sons? Bema in my stomach. Vayu lachem la'anashim, that they will be your husbands. Like, what is your hope? Shov na benotai, go back my daughters. Lechna, go. Ki zakanti miyod le'ish, I'm too old to marry a man. Ki amarti, because I said, which means even if I say, yesh li tikva, that I have hope, gam hayiti alayla le'ish, even if I marry a husband tonight, v'gam yalati banim, even if I give birth to sons, halahen tesaberna, you're going to hope for them, ad asher yigdalu, till they grow up, halahen teagena, you're going to sit around, wait, become aguna, for them, levilti heyol le'ish, so you shouldn't marry another man. Al benotai, not my daughters. Kimarli meod, it's very bitter for me, mikem, in from your situation. Kiyot abi yad Hashem, because the hand of Hashem has come out on me, in me. Huh?
Against me.
Thank you.
It seems like he's talking about the Yabamot. Yabamot.
That's what she's saying. Exactly. Yes.
If they go here, the Yevamah doesn't apply.
Right. But first of all, the Yevamah doesn't apply. Second of all, it's not a Yevamah because the halacha is, at least the way we pass it, that the brother that's born afterwards, it will not be able to be Miyabim. So, she's just, we have to see what she's trying to say over him.
Emotional conversation.
No.
No?
It cannot be. Emotional conversations are not recorded in Tanakh. Tanakh are every word of Tanakh is meduyak. It's there for a reason.
I mean, why did it say that they raised their voice and they cried? That's emotion. That's
no.
It's emotional.
No. Every word that is here is there for a reason. Vatisena kolan, they raised their voices. Vatifkena, they cried. Od Vatishak Orpa lachamuta, and Orpa gave a kiss to her mother-in-law, which means kiss goodbye. The root dav kaba, but root joined her, which means that she's stuck with her. She didn't leave her.
Who wrote
Ruth? Oh, that's what the Roman asked. I want to know if anybody can guess.
The
what? Who wrote Sefer Ruth?
The root writer?
Root wrote it. I don't
know.
No.
How do you know?
Because Shmuel wrote
Ephesus,
no?
Huh?
He wrote about Boaz.
Yeah, you are
Boaz. Shmuel wrote about Boaz,
about
Shoftim. Who wrote
Shoftim
about Boaz there?
Who wrote Shoftim?
Shmuel.
Who wrote Sefer Shoftim?
That is Shmuel, right?
That's Shmuel.
So Shmuel wrote this too.
All of it Shmuel wrote? Yeah. What do you say?
I think Emmanuel wants to talk about it. Come on.
Yalla, no? Let's see who remembers. So the Gemara says here.
Yoshua wrote Yoshua.
No. Shemuel Katav. Shemuel Katav. Sifro. His Sefer. Which is Sefer Shemuel. The Shoftim. Verut. Right? So who wrote it?
Shmuel wrote it. The only reason I know because he said the same person who talked about Ephes, what is his name?
Ipsa. Right.
I remember.
Ipsa, that's right.
Once gave a shur, Ipsa comes from Ephes. Ipsa.
Ivtsan with a bet and tzadi.
I don't know. Whatever he said in the pshat.
Okay, right, yeah.
Why he needs it, but why he saw that there's a need to write a Sefer Shmuel.
Okay, you're asking also a good question. You're going to take me out of my hole.
At this speed, we need to start from last year.
Huh?
Every other week we do question answer only.
No, you can't say. So many things come up.
Another question.
Why Sefer Shmuel need to have been written? That's what Ezra is asking.
You know that
why?
Yeah, it's a nice story. Right?
No,
right.
No, Hagirut is happening.
There's so many
halachot. Forget about that. The lineage of Moshe.
Yeah, not as good as Moshe. How many Amos? How many Amos?
What does that mean?
Moshiach. Definitely Moshiach. That's the
answer. Shmuel is the one who established the Malchut of Beit David. So Shmuel is the one who
he needs to explain now.
And so therefore he's giving the background to the Malchut of Beit David. But he also was the one who was the closest to the time. You know, David HaMelech could not have written it because David HaMelech was later than Shmuel. And Yehoshua was before. And the only other author who's here, Shoftim, he wrote. So he was the one who wrote Shoftim. He was a Navi. He knew what was going on. So he wrote Shoftim through Ruach HaNevuah. And he wrote Megillat Rut through Ruach HaNevuah.
All these Shoftim, 350 years, they didn't feel they need to write something to.
They didn't. I'm sure they wrote Divrei Hayamim, which means history books. Tanakh is not history book. Tanakh is what we need to know for our life.
Meaning they didn't have the power or the knowledge to do it.
To be able to write whatever needs to be written.
Hashem told Tanakh to be written?
Yes.
Which means you're
dead.
Yes.
Baruch to me, please.
There was a need for it too. He needs to. There was only just stamp. There was a need that he needs to write.
No, it's not.
Not he.
No.
I'm asking Hashem wants him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't feel like.
No, you don't need to. We're almost all ending.
As pushing another, like we say, the Gemara.
It's not that Shmuel. Thank you. That Shmuel decided, you know what, let me write a book.
No, it's not. You just said that.
The Gemara dash is a pasuk. The pasuk is at the end of Parashat Mishpatim. The pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Ele elai hehara, come up to me, to the mountain, ve'etena lecha, and I will give you, et luchot ha'even, ve'atora ve'amitzvah shekotavti le'orotam. I will give you the tablets of stone and Torah and mitzvah that I wrote to teach them. Gemara dashes, luchot elu aseret adiberot. I'll give you aseret adiberot on the luchot. Torah is a mikra. Mikra means chumash. Mitzvah zo mishnah. Mitzvah is mishnah because that's how each mitzvah is explained through the mishnah, Torah Shema Alpe. Asher katafti that I wrote, elu nevi'im uchtuvim. That's nevi'im and ketuvim. Lehorotam ze gemara melamed shekulam nitenu lemoshe misinai. to teach you that they were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Sinai, which means that these are the nebuas that were revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu in Sinai, which later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the nebuah to the Nevi'im to write it the way they're supposed to write it. The difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's, the difference between Chumash and all the other Sefarim is that the Chumash was dictated letter by letter by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're right. Bereshit, Bet, Resh, Aleph, Shin, Yud, Tav, Bara, Bet, Resh, Aleph. Whereas the rest of Nevi'im Ketuvim was not dictated by letters, not even by words. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave the Navi and Nevuah what to write, and Navi wrote it in his own words, according to the Nevuah that was given to him. That's why Chazal say, and Shnei Nevi'im Mitnabim B'Signon Echad. The two Nevi'im do not speak the same language. That's why the style of Sefer Yeshaya and Sefer Yirmiyah and Sefer Yechezkel are different. The words, the poetry, so to speak, of it, the literature of it, the way, the choice of words are different.
Devarim is not the same thing?
Huh? Devarim is not the same thing, No. The difference between Devarim and Rashi Weinberg has a whole shiur, difference between Devarim and the rest of Chumash, is that Devarim is what Moshe Rabbeinu spoke out, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu then told him, write what you spoke out, write it like this. In other words, it might not be that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke out Devarim literally the way it's written.
Oh.
Right? Maybe he said some other sentences in the middle too. He said other things. Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, of the words that you chose to teach, write these words that you said. Write this one, and write this one, and write this one.
So it was his choice of words
to say it.
To say it.
But then when it was written, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, write it this way.
Did Hashem, if Moshe chose a word, did Hashem say this word is not good, write another word?
Okay, so
Vayidaber Moshe has to be, Moshe said this.
Right.
Either the word that Moshe said is not, the writing is not true, or...
It means the context of it. It doesn't say over here that Moshe said this. Here it says, Ele Adivarim Asher Diver Moshe. These are the words that Hashem, that Moshe spoke. The words mean these are the speech that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. That's a speech. Right? Is it exactly choice of words? Doesn't say that these are exact words that Moshe Rabbeinu used. But even the Maise, Chazal say that even Devarim was HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaber Mitoch Gironu Shel Moshe. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sort of...
So why don't you just say it correctly, you know what I'm saying?
Huh?
So if that's the case, why don't Hashem say it in a way that when he said it, it's exactly the way he's going
to
write it.
Because maybe he needed to explain to people more at the time. But in the Torah, we only need this much.
Another thing, why is it the other way? It should be first, he should have wrote it, and then he should have spoken out, no?
No. He spoke out because he had to speak to people. Hashem said, now, of these words that you spoke to people, I want to take these words and make it a part of the Torah.
Meaning, originally, there was not supposed to be five.
There is no originally. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans to begin with. There is no origins.
But there are some new mitzvot introduced to Devarim, right?
There are no mitzvot that are introduced in Sefer Devarim. Which means, why here? I mean, you mean introduced, that was never said before.
Shalom Hakel
was not introduced. The Chazal said it was all given in Sinai. It just was not recorded then. It was recorded later on. You know, that's why it was recorded. But it was all given. You know, Ma Shemita Ezel Har Sinai, just like Shemita Kelaleo Protea Kula Misinai, Kula Torah Kula Kelaleo Protea Kula Misinai. It was all given Misinai.
So during 37 days, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke it and then he had time to write it before he passes away, right?
Okay, but Sifrei Nevi'im were written according to the way the Navi would have expressed himself. But again, it's through Nevuah. It's not just making things up. In other words, if you have Chazal, who wrote, let's see, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who wrote the Mishnah, so meduktak, that every word of the Mishnah, there's a duke on it of how he said it, the Gemara dashes from it. Or the Gemara, who were written by Amoraim, is so meduktak, that all the Rishonim making all kinds of duking from the Gemara, of the way the Gemara said it, what he said it, he didn't say it like that. And the Rambam, who was a Rishon, and everybody makes, you know, the whole giving so many shirim on the Rambam of making duke, why the Rambam would use this word and not that word. Kol Sheken, when a Navi writes something, that everything that he picked was exactly meduklak. So there's no extra word. There's no story just to express the emotions or just tell the story of any of that. It's all.
So if the Nevi'im chose the word that they chose from the old language, sometimes the Gemara would bring a raya from a pasuk from the Navi, but outside of Kumash, to support somewhere else. So that makes sense if we say the Moshe Rabbeinu had those psukim betafka given to him by Sinai. But it doesn't quite make sense if those psukim were not given to him, just a kind of psukim were given to him.
We never make Ezer HaShava from Nevi'im to Torah. It's all Gilui Milta. Gilui Milta means, if this word over here means this, they knew this is the definition of the word. So Mimela in the Torah also, this means the definition of the word. So it's like a dictionary, so to speak.
So we're not supposed to ask in new halachot.
That's right. The Mefurash HaKimara, Divrei Torah Medivrei Rekabala Ruyalfina. That's exactly that. We do not learn Torah from the Divrei Kabbalah, from the Nevi'im Ketuvim.
Torah means
Chumash. You do not learn the words of Chumash from the words of Nevi'im Ketuvim.
Meaning what? Meaning interpreting Nevi'im Ketuvim to learn Torah?
You cannot have Nevi'im Ketuvim explain to you what the Torah means. The only thing that Nevi'im Ketuvim could do is to be Megale, a translation of a word, the concept of a word.
No, but I'm saying,
because they had a Masorah, that was the word, that's the definition of it.
Learning a new halakha, like sometimes they would say, they would give like a synonym, they give you like a remez or something from the Chumash, they say, oh, we also have a limud from the Navi, and that one was very nice.
That's a Gilui Milta, right?
That's just a Gilui Milta.
Right. Okay, so let's suffice it up to here, at least a part of the storyline, that Orpah said goodbye and left, and Ruth remained with her mother-in-law.
Where I go where I'm
at. Okay. There's another thing I wanted to get to. But okay, so let's just get back. I want to just share with you a few points before we get more into this. So Chazal say, Vahi, I'm not going to go to that much longer. I'm just going to give you once, you know, I don't want to just leave you with the psukim. We have four names that are mentioned in the beginning of the Megillah. You have Elimelech, you have Naomi, you have Mahlon, and Kilion. Elimelech, right? So we said Nachshon ben Aminadav, or Adbel ben Kanaz, had four sons, right? Chazal say Elimelech and Salmon and Peloni Almoni and the father of Naomi. These are the four sons of Nachshon ben Aminadav. Why Elimelech's name is Elimelech?
Who is the first one?
So he's the first one that's mentioned in Chazal. So the Midrash says Elimelech meant Elai Malchut, Elai Tavo Malchut. Malchut comes to me. Which means that he, in the lineage of going down from Yehuda, the Malchut of Beit Yehuda, Elimelech is someone who is Ra'u le Malchut. If a king would have been chosen to be the king, it would have been Elimelech. He is the head of the household from Nachshon ben Aminadav, who was the head of the, he was a Nasi of Shevet Yehuda. He was the one who brought the first Korban and Korban and Nesim. He was the Nasi of Shevet Yehuda. And he is the oldest of Nachshon. He's the oldest of Nachshon, so he should be the Melech. If the Malchut is picked, he's the Melech. That's why they named him Elimelech, Elai Tavo Malchut.
Elisa married going.
Okay?
National name.
Yeah, national name. Right? Then you have Naomi. Chazal say, why is her name called Naomi? Chazal say, because Naomi was, right? Shayu benud betlechem mishtamishu betachshiteha. She was so rich that and generous that anybody who wanted to borrow a jewelry, because they wanted to go somewhere, they would come to her and borrow her jewelry and put it on and go somewhere. She was so beautiful, Chazal say. Shehaitam megana et hapas beyofia. Her beauty would put gold to shame. Okay? And she was ma'aseh ha'ya na'im ve'ne'imim. You know, Naomi means pleasant. She was very pleasant. So, which means that her life was a pleasant life. Which means she was beautiful. Physically, she was good. Financially, she was fine.
She or her father? She
herself, Naomi. Naomi.
Her husband, father,
whatever it is. The man says she had a wonderful life. She was beautiful physically. That means she was very comfortable financially. And na'im ve'ne'imim b'midoteha, she was a nice person. That means everything was going for her. She had a pleasant life. She was Naomi. She was a pleasant life. So you have this person who was destined to be a king. And his wife is having the best life.
Queen.
They had two sons, Machlon and Chilion. The Gemara has a question. The Gemara in Baba Batra, these were their names or not? The Gemara says Rav and Shemuel. Well, we have Machlon and Chilion over here. It says over here in Divrei Hayamim, the two names are given two different names, right? They are given Yoash and Saraf. The two brothers. Two different names. So Rabbi Shmuel, one of them said their real name was Machlon and Kilion. Why were they named Yoash and Saraf there? Yoash shenitya ashu mi geulatan shel Israel. They gave up the geula. Yoash comes from Yeush. They gave up on the geula. Once they went to Moab, they gave up geula. They said, that's it. Forget it. There's no hope.
See, this is... What's
the two brothers.
Nickname.
Right. And Saraf is Shnitchayevu Serefa Lamakom. Because of what they did, they were worthy of being burnt. That's one mandama.
What did they do that day?
That's one mandama.
That was the real name?
No. Machlon Bekinyon, according to this mandama, Machlon Bekinyon is the real name. Yoash and Saraf is the nickname describing what they should be happening to them. The other mandama says no. The real name was Yoash and Saraf. Machlon and Kilion were the nickname. Machlon, why Machlon? Shena'asu Chulin. They became, they lost their Kedusha. Right? And Kilion, Shenitchayevu Kelaya. They became obligated, they became Chayamita basically. They were supposed to be doomed. They were doomed. So, Rashbam says, that the reason that all these things, bad things are happening to them is because they went out of Eretz Israel. Because why should they leave Eretz Israel?
It's famine.
Okay. You're gonna see soon. So the Maharsha says that cannot be. Because even though Elimelech also died, but they never gave him a bad name. Right? So Elimelech also left Eretz Israel. Ella, the reason that they were given these names, either Yoash or Saraf or Machlon Kilion, is because they married non-Jews. But be it as it may, all of it go work together, which means that Elimelech made a mistake by going out of Eretz Israel. Chazal say, why did Elimelech leave Eretz Israel to go to Moab? Why?
Famine.
Listen to Chazal. Tanya, lama ne'nash al Elimelech? Why did Elimelech die? Lefi shikit shebo'u shenei ra'avon, when the years of hunger came, Amar, he said, Achshav kol Yisrael mesavavim petachai. Now people are going to gather around my door. Ze bekupato. This one is going to come with his tzedakah box, and he's going to come with his tzedakah box. Amad ubarach. He got up and he ran away. Mipenehem. That's why it says Vayelech Ish mi Bet Lechem Yehuda. He went from Bet Lechem Yehuda. He left. So because of that, Elimelech got punished and he died. Okay, that was a punishment for he ran away. His sons didn't have to be punished for that. The sons are the sons of the father. The father goes, the son goes with him. Naomi didn't get punished for that, personally. The husband goes, she goes with him. Ah, but then the sons went, married the Goya, which means they gave up on coming back. That's why they stayed there almost 10 years. They gave up on coming back. Oh, you gave up on coming back. Nityashu, mina geula. So if that's the case, it's Machlon, it's Kilion, it's Saraf, it's Yoash, all of it.
Send them to public school. What should we do? End up to the
day. Right, so I don't know how old they were, though. I mean, they're old enough to marry. So that's why they died.
This was a great person, but just for money, it makes no sense.
Right. So now Yehuda has a very good question. How did Naomi, Elimelech was died already. How did Naomi allow his son, her sons to marry Goyim?
She disowned them. She should have.
She didn't disown them.
And her daughter-in-laws were also with her.
Who said he would listen to their mother?
There were no Jewish
girls. No, she didn't just drop them.
They thought everybody died.
Bless you,
no.
Just like Lut. Daughter of Lut.
He could do that. No, but that's not the case. No.
There are no Jewish girls.
Yeah, he's right.
Right, there are. They, what's his name says? I think Ma'am Lawyer says that shot. That they thought there's no Jewish girl is going to be left in Eretz Yisrael. Let's marry here. Whatever it is, they were punished. It was not sechelik what they did. You know, I mean, what do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save Kilal Yisrael. Is any shaila that Kilal Yisrael Chasmer is going to get destroyed? What are we talking about? This is not the time of Lot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a promise. They come to Eretz Yisrael, then they're not going to get destroyed.
No matter how you look at it, either the clash that goes and the world goes. So what are you going to live for?
Okay, good. Right. So that's a pasuk I wanted to get to, which we'll get to the next time in the session. When Naomi comes back from Eretz Israel, from Eretz Moab, people will say, oh, Hazot Naomi, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? The Chazal say, what they meant was that, you see, she went out of Eretz Israel. You see what happened to her? She left. You see what happened to her? All the punishment that came upon her, she was worthy of it. I mean, she got punished for having left. So Naomi comes back and says, don't call me Naomi, which means all the good things that we said. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made my life bitter. Right? Because she lost all the good is gone. Everything is gone. Right? But you see, throughout the whole Megillah, we refer to her as Naomi. They didn't change her name. So Rav Eisman has a gewaldic shlita, has a gewaldic yesod on this. He says the difference between Naomi and Elimelech and Machlon and Kilion was this. Elimelech made a mistake and he got punished. Chazal say it. Machlon and Kilion made a mistake, married Goyish ladies. They were punished. They were killed. Naomi's mistake was that she went along with it. She did not protest. She did not stand up to it. But at some point, Naomi did teshuva.
She
turned around. He makes a diuk, a beautiful diuk from the pasuk. It says, "Vatakom." She got up. What do you mean she got up? She was sitting? She was sleeping? What does that mean, "Vatakom"? It says, Vatakom hi vechaloteha. She got up. Pasuk vav. She got up hi vechaloteha. Vatoshom mistei Moav, and she returned from Sedei Moav. He says Vatakom. The Gaon says he brings from the Agon Mivilna that the Gaon says every time he says Vatakom, Vatakom doesn't mean physically getting up. Physically getting up is Vatamod, Vayamod, Amad. Come means that Farsi they say Hemat mikone. Means that you get the courage, right? You change course, you change gear, you rise. Not you get up, you rise.
Right?
You rise to the occasion, you rise to the situation, you change the attitude. So he says, that's the Pshat Batakum. Once she changed it, so then that turned everything around for her. And there's a lot of beautiful, more beautiful things in there. Huh? It did come from
Who?
From Ruth. From Naomi,
it
didn't come from.
Oh, it doesn't. No, it came from Naomi. Look at the end of the Megillah.
He grew up with the Naomi.
Look at the end of the Megillah. Pasuk.
End.
6, 7, 4. Pasuk Tetzain and Yudzain. Batikach Naomi da Yelet. Naomi took that child, vateshitehu bechekah, put it on her lap, vateilu leomenet, that she became her maid, her nursemaid. Vatikrena lo ashechenot shem lemor. They called the boy, all the neighbors, called that boy a name like this. Yulad ben le Naomi. A son is born to Naomi. Vatikrena shemo, and they called her name, Oved, who avishai avid avid. Okay? This is not just a thing. When Hashem, you go through the Megillah, you understand the inyan of Yibum and the inyan of Gilgul.
But it's not real Yibum.
You're gonna get the concept of Yibum and Gilgul.
It has nothing to do with her though.
It's her.
All we see is
Machlon comes back in this boy. That is the idea of Yibum, even though it's not a real Yibum, and it says not a brother's Yibum, but it's an extended version of Yibum. That's why Boaz married Ruth. Why did he have to marry Ruth?
She did the Shua. Hashem
has it right away.
Yes, that same night, that same next morning.
Hashem turned the thing upside down.
You're gonna. That is the whole idea of Gilgul. Gilgul of Yibum.
Yibum of Elimelech has a Yibum. Yibum for Elimelech. His two kids died. He himself.
No, he had kids.
He has other kids.
He had kids when he died. When he died, he had kids.
He himself, if he dies, right. the kids die before the father. Then he died.
Right, but the kids didn't have children.
Why Boaz is wondering?
Okay, you're jumping ahead. We have Baruch Hashem. We have a number of weeks ago.
Boaz is a cousin.
You're gonna go through this.
Boaz was the son of Sam. Boaz was the grandson of
Nachshon and Aminadab,
and he married his cousin's wife.
He married his cousin's wife, yes.
Sunday night.
I don't know. That you could discuss it, but then let me know.
Whatever you do, don't send the email or text half an hour before and say yeah, there's a shoe. Do me a favor.
No, the guys are here. Let's talk about it right now.
I'm not here.
Hello.
What for what?
Sunday night after.